Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tech Can Save Us podcast brought to you by Literal Humans. As always, I'm your host, Paul David, CEO and founder of Literal Humans. And we've got a great episode today. We're joined today by Tove Nielsen, who's the co-founder and CEO of Emission Twin. Welcome to the pod, Tove.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time. By way of introduction, we're going to talk about digital climate solutions. Obviously, a literal and figurative hot topic. I'm sure you're tired of hearing that pun, but we're going to focus on the great work that Tove and her team are doing in climate tech, and they're based in Malmo, Sweden, and they're focused on helping companies tackle their emissions in a smart and user-friendly way. So think of it like having a kind of high-tech assistant that helps businesses understand their environmental. They've started in the year 2020. Big year. That's also when we started as a company. And they've come quite far since then, recently raising 800,000 euros in funding and working with well-known clients. I'm sorry, 900,000 euros. Sorry, I got that wrong.
That's right. Yeah.
900,000 euros. Don't want to shortchange you by 100,000 euros here. Actually having over almost 30 years of experience in the space, and that's really important because we need that experience and that know-how to solve some of the climate change issues that we're facing. You've had some well-known clients like Hemtex, and your experience in tech has led you to be passionate about using innovation to make a real difference. So, very warm welcome to the podcast, Tove.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be here today.
Yeah, cool. Well, we're big fans of what you're doing at Emission Twin. So first and foremost, would just love for you to give our audience kind of a lay of the land and just help us understand, a not so small question, a big question. What exactly is the technology behind Emission Twin, and how precisely does it help companies fight climate change?
And I love to talk about our technology because that's my specialty, and that's something I've worked with and refined for over 20 years. But I would like to start with a why, if that's okay. Yeah. Okay, good. Because our mission at Emission Twin is to reduce emissions in the world. So our vision is that every company collects their own direct emissions. It's also called scope one emissions. And then they can share that in the value chain. So because if we do that, then we've solved the climate crisis, basically. And to accomplish that, you need state-of-the-art technologies, because many of the reporting platforms that are on the market today are designed for collecting historical data for reporting purposes. So you can say in some sense that it's software that helps companies look in the rearview mirror. But what we need is we need to look forward to reduce emissions. So they need to be able to work with all of the data that they've collected, simulate future emission reduction. And to do that, they need really advanced technology, basically. So that's sort of why we have a very, very good chance in this space.
Yeah, I can't think of a more important why, given the moment that we're in and what we're seeing, around the world. It seems like people are starting to finally get it, with the wildfires and extreme weather and climate migrants. I have friends who are climate migrants, moving from LA to San Francisco to get away from the wildfires there. And it just seems like a really, really crucial time for people to start to turn the page and understand the urgency of what you're doing.
You're right, because humans are really good when it comes to cause and effect on a very short term, but we're not so good at cause and effect in the real long term. And when we're looking at climate change, it's a long-term game, actually. So we need to understand exactly what's happening more to be able to tackle it, basically. But going into the tech then, so if you want to reduce emissions, that is a journey in itself, and it requires technology that can sort of go with you on that journey as you evolve as a business. And you start maybe with having access to the data on how much you spend on things, and then you go on and see where are your emission hotspots, and you drill down there, so to speak. To do that, you need a software that is able to go with you on that journey. And so what we did is that we invented a digital twin database. That is not entirely correct, and I can explain why, but should I explain what a database is or a digital twin?
Yeah, I think we've talked a little bit about digital twin, but it'd be good to give our audience a bit of a refresher about what a digital twin is, so they can understand that at a really high level.
Yeah, okay. So a digital twin is basically a digital replica of a chosen part of reality. So the easiest way to understand it is through visual digital twins, like Google Earth or Google Maps is a visual digital twin. And it's very easy for people to understand that if they want to get from A to B in the real world, it's very useful to have a digital replica where they can sort of try out different routes and see how it goes. And when you can connect real data on top of that, so you can see that, okay, that road is blocked now, so I have to take another route, it becomes even better. And that is sort of what we don't do, visual digital twins. We do digital twins in the database, in the core. But it's basically, it has the same capability of simulation, and you can set your goals of where you want to go, and then you can simulate how to best get there, basically. So we didn't actually invent a new database, because we have the core of our software has the coolest graph database that there is, Neo4j, also a Swedish, really cool company.
Nice. And so we've got to give the Swedish people, you guys invent so much cool stuff. You have great musicians. You're really, like, per capita, some of the most inventive people around the world. So kudos to Sweden.
Thank you so much. That feels great. So what we're doing is that we're wrapping a graph database with digital twin capabilities. So what you can do with a digital twin database is that you can describe any information in the world. And the strength is that we are really good at describing reality. Because when you describe reality correctly, when reality changes, you can also change according to reality. So that's why sort of flexibility is one of our core uniqueness, because, well, a lot of companies, okay, there aren't many companies who say that their software is not flexible. All software is flexible, right? But they are flexible initially when you set them up the first time. But what we need with climate calculations and reductions, as I said, it's a journey, and the software needs to be able to be reconfigured every year at a low or no cost. But today, the existing software can't. You have to sort of ask the software manufacturer to reconfigure it for you, and it costs money and it takes time. But with our software, customers can do that themselves, basically.
And just digging into that, like helping us understand the graph piece of it and sort of, you know, what the building blocks of all the different products are, it would be good to kind of, you know, tease that out a little bit for our audience if you can.
Okay, so a graph database is a database where you can connect nodes in a network looking like a neural network, almost much more flexible than you can with a traditional, like, relational database, which used to be the most common kind of database. So at the core, we have this very, very flexible graph database. And then on top of that, we wrapped the digital twin objects that are needed to describe reality. Because, well, you can describe reality with only a graph database, but we sort of structured it and made it much easier on top of that.
Got it. That's really helpful. Thank you for sharing that. We'd love to talk a bit more about, you know, the adoption of your platform. So it's been adopted by businesses like Hemtex to kind of make their climate reporting easier and to identify opportunities to do what we want companies to do, cut their emissions, right? So could you walk us through, you know, a bit more about how the platform works? It's especially for companies that are trying to transition to more sustainable practices. So for example, how does your platform use existing data to simplify onboarding, as just as one example?
Yeah, sure. If you want to cut emissions, you have to start with calculating your current emissions, right? Because you got to understand where to cut. And while most of our customers have done climate calculations before, but in Excel sheets, with the flexibility of the platform, we can just import those Excel sheets and sort of get the customer onboarded in just 3 hours. Basically, so we have really, really fast onboarding. And then we verify that structure together with the customers, and they can do sort of changes. And in 3 hours, they have verified the setup, and they've also learned to use the software. So it's real, real fast and easy. And then for the customers that haven't done calculations since before, we have industry patterns, or industry twins, as we like to call them, that we import. And that is a very good starting point. And then they can sort of adjust that to their reflecting their business. And so they then start collecting their data from within Mission Twin. And then they delegate that input data to different people. And that's, most of the platforms have that. So that's nothing special, really. And then based on that, we generate reports such as the GHG report, which is mandated by law for a lot of companies. So that is just the push of a button to get that report. Because what we want them to do is to use all of that data that they collected to understand their emission profile and where they can reduce emissions. So then they can start using the simulator. So they put in a growth plan. Let's say they want to grow 4% each year. And then they have a goal set for like reducing emissions with 50% by 2030, for example. And then they can simulate different options. What if we change from regular lights to LED lights, for example? What if we stop flying in products? What if we start mixing in, phasing out fossil fuels in sea transport, for example? So they can simulate all of these options and actually see, based on their own data, not generic data, but their own data, how much that will reduce emissions, like with their emission profile. So we had one customer who had an existing strategy. It was a clothing company. So in the clothing industry, everyone talks about reducing emissions by using recycled material. So recycled cotton or recycled polyester, for example. And that was their strategy. And then when they used our tool and simulated their goals and their strategy, they saw that there was this huge gap between sort of the emissions reduced with their existing strategy and the emission reduction that they wanted to achieve. So this was in the management team. And then the management team got all engaged and looked at it and said, okay, but what if we do that? And what if we try this? And what if we try that? And that way they sort of could engage the entire management team and agree on the things that they had to do, which was much more than they initially thought, to actually hit their targets.
So I'd be curious about how do you work with companies as they're maybe hitting these targets over time, and how do you sort of evolve the partnership that you have with them as they hopefully start to, you know, hit those targets?
Yeah, but I mean, these targets are usually long-term targets, and we're just a startup, so we haven't followed. I think our customers, we've had two years the most. And it takes more than that to reach those climate targets. It's long-term commitments.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a lot of companies now set something called science-based targets, which is in line with the Paris Agreement.
Mm-hmm.
But they have no idea how to reach them. And this is a very good way of actually being able to do that. Because one of the main challenges is that they want to grow. I mean, we all want businesses to grow, right? Because we need that system. But while they grow, they want to reduce emissions in absolute figures. And that's very difficult. So that's also why they need sort of to be able to have data that drives their decision.
Right.
Where they can see what to do so they can grow, but grow sustainably.
That makes sense. I love the idea that, like, you know, they have these science-based targets and that they're maybe not good at understanding them and you know, framing them, but you're helping them reach them, you know, with your tool. That's really great. We'd love to understand how Emissions Twin sort of stands out from other climate reporting tools. What's different about you all? What's unique?
Sure. Yeah, we are in the climate reporting space. That's sort of our market, of course. And reporting is very, very important. We need that. But we also need to focus on reducing emissions. So just calling it a reporting platform is not enough, I think. So it's more of emission management. So what stands out is the flexibility. And with flexibility, I mean supporting the entire journey that companies are on, being able to year by year reconfigure very fast and easy so that it can sort of follow the company as the company evolves, but also as the company has access to more better and more high qualitative data. So that flexibility is really unique, that they can do that themselves at no cost. And we put a lot of money into research, and we do research together with customers and partners. So that resulted in a very, very clean and easy to use software. And I think every company we demo for comment on that. So that's also kind of unique. I would say that the fastest onboarding on the market is a unique thing that stands out.
And what does that look like? Yeah, what does that look like? Because I know, like, onboarding, it's always such a challenge, like, for any company, right? When you like, a lot of clients, they don't want to pay for, like, an onboarding period, but it's also so necessary to really integrate your systems with each other and build a strategy to work together and to get people familiar with tools. So tell us a bit more about that, you know, the fastest onboarding period in the industry. I'm very curious.
Yeah, sure, of course. So our onboarding takes only 3 hours for the customer. So it's wow. It's like, and I've been in meetings where a customer actually said to me, "But Tove, that is ridiculous because we just got a quote from your competitor and they want 160,000 SEK for the onboarding. So you cannot be talking about the same thing." And then I went in and explained that sort of the digital twin tech, what it does is that we can have this kind of very fast onboarding because we can import patterns and we can have all of that out of the box. So I sort of realized that, like, I'm a technician and not a salesperson. I usually say that. So I don't say things that aren't true. But when I am as a startup, I'm in the position of selling, and then I say stuff like, okay, it's only 3 hours onboarding, and they think, oh, that's just standard sales BS, right? But I sort of realized that I have to go in depth and explain that much more in detail for them to actually believe what I'm saying. Because it is the digital twin and the patterns and the flexibility that makes it possible to do it that quickly.
Yeah, that makes sense. Would love to talk a bit about your, so you've given us idea of like the why and the space and the product that you delivered. That's incredible. You have a 3 hour, I wish we could do a 3 hour onboarding period for all of our clients. Wow. That's incredible. So we'll have to pick your brain on that at some other point. But, you know, wanted to talk about your growth strategy. Obviously, you know, you probably want to reach, you know, a healthy number of companies to really help them understand their current, you know, emissions and to start to bring that down. You got this recent, you know, funding round of 900,000. So it's clear that you're scaling, you're growing. That's very exciting. How are you planning to use this funding to grow the business? And just talk to me a bit about your overall growth strategy as a
Sure. So up until this funding round, we've been a really awesome tech team, but we haven't really had sort of the growth team in place. So that's what this investment is for. It's for hiring salespeople. It's for hiring marketing. We did that already. And it is to be on the short list of every company that wants to calculate their emissions or report on CSRD, the framework that's come from the EU. So it is to advance on that. And then, of course, the money also goes into further development of the software. We have a lot of, our vision is big and we want to go global. We have to. We can't save the world just by helping companies in Sweden. We have to connect the value chains in the world and go abroad. So that's sort of what the money is for. And the goal is to be self-sufficient by the end of 2026. So that's when we go break even and sort of bear our own costs. That being said, I think that we will probably be looking at taking in another round then, because, well, we can't save the world if we're growing organically. That's what I would prefer otherwise, but the world can't wait, sort of. So we need investment capital to make a faster journey and reach more companies in the world.
That's great. And I'd be remiss if I didn't have a bunch of follow-up questions for you. We're obviously a growth marketing agency, but we'd love to just kind of understand, you know, how you've directed those salespeople and those marketing people to do their job and to do it well. Obviously, you know, it's a very technical product. So I imagine there's a lot of like client education and understanding that you need to build. So we'd love to understand just how you've, you know, shaped a unique sales and marketing process so that that can be successful. Those salespeople and marketers can be successful in their roles.
Yeah, sure. We just got our marketing person on board and we get our first salesperson on May 1st. So that's a process to be. But actually, I mean, we've encapsulated the complexity. So the complexity is sort of hidden in the core, right? And then we have all of these patterns that makes it easy. So actually what the customers see and what our own salespeople and marketing people will see is not at all complex. It's the opposite. It's very, very simple. And I think that's the trickiest part, to make something that's really complex, to make that real easy. That is difficult and it takes time, a lot of pondering and thinking. And so like what meets our new employees and what meets our customers are not complicated stuff. It's easy stuff. Of course, with our own personnel, when we're hiring, I want to let them in on sort of the complex core. And we talk about that internally and the benefits it gives the customers. But I usually don't talk very much. I mention digital twins to our customers to sort of to get them to understand why we can do so much more complex things than our competitors, but I don't dive into exactly what it is or so. I just tell them that, okay, with this technology, you can look forward, you can simulate, you have the flexibility, you can version your years, you can do all sorts of things with it. So it's really not that difficult. But of course, as a startup, when you are starting to scale, that's always a challenge. And I've worked half my work life with turning human capital into structure capital. So that is something that I'm thinking a lot about now, because when we're growing, it can't be in my head or in a few people's heads, this knowledge. We have to spread it and we have to empower everyone in the company with it. So that's a challenge, I think, to grow with structural capital.
Yeah, I love that phrase, like turning human capital into structural capital. It's something that resonates a lot with us. You know, we're in the business of, you know, like sharing information and getting, you know, working on brands who are trying to educate and engage their audiences. And internally, that can be really tricky because, you know, we might have someone who leaves our agency and then they've got all the information about a specific client. So we have to really think about what institutional knowledge. I love the phrase structural capital as well. How does that knowledge of, you know, the customer, the client, or just anything internally sit within your
Yeah, exactly. No, that's so important. And to be successful, the kind of successful global business that we're aiming at,
yeah,
we have to think about this now. Otherwise, absolutely, we will have great difficulties.
What would you say is like the key growth challenge that the, you know, these new salespeople and marketers are working on right now?
I mean, it is very advanced tech that makes our software and platform stand out. And for companies, potential customers who are looking for a software, they might think that it's, oh, this is a startup, that they don't have like huge revenue yet, and they can see that as a risk. So that's something that our salespeople and marketing people have to overcome. And I mean, because we are here for a reason. We're here because there is a gap in the market, and we need those companies, the initial companies, to start betting on us. And I mean, we have that now. We have a great, great group of companies that are customers and advocates that sell us to their friends and their in their ecosystem. So that's great. But I also, yeah, I think, you know, overcoming the fact that we're a startup is one thing. And then there are a lot of companies who sort of work in and use Excel sheets. And don't misunderstand me, Excel and spreadsheets in general are wonderful tools. But when you get, when you grow it, it becomes very personal dependent. And yeah, it's the opposite of structural capital. You might think you're creating structural capital when you're creating these huge Excel sheets. But what you are doing is creating human capital, because it's only the one person who created the Excel sheet that dares to go in and change in it. So it becomes a very person-dependent process, which is bad, because also when it comes to climate, we have to engage the entire company, make everyone see their own part and share information.
Yes.
So that's another one.
It's interesting that you mentioned like the shift that a lot of companies are trying to make from organizing themselves in Excel to software platform. I was just having a conversation with the folks over at Banyan Infrastructure, and they've got like an end-to-end software platform for sustainable infrastructure finance, and how much of a challenge they have educating people on A, you know, you need to make that change, and then B, you know, software can do that for you. C, you know, a lot of the companies that you're trying to become or emulate are already doing that with software, right? So there's multiple layers of education challenges, you know, and a lot of it is specific to the climate and sustainability space, because these are massive data challenges as well and software challenges. So I'm really glad you mentioned that. It's a really interesting challenge for a lot of companies.
Yeah, it sure is.
We'd love to dig in a bit more about your journey, which has been really interesting, your career journey. You've gone from programming at Tetra Pak to co-founding a startup that's tackling one of the world's most critical challenges, obviously, climate change. First, what inspired you to start Emissions Twin?
And that was actually The sustainability manager at Max Burgers was speaking to a lot of people, and he was speaking about the importance of businesses to change their business and make it sustainable and reduce emissions and build that into the core of the business, and how it is the responsibility of everyone, like from choose where we choose to work, where we place our money, what we buy and consume. That was so inspiring that I actually decided then and there that this is what I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing, help companies reduce emissions, because I sort of immediately saw this match with the digital twin technology and with simulation. And so I realized, wow, I could really make a difference in this space. So then I decided to start the company, and we started building this very advanced core. And that was scary as hell. I'm a detailed person. I'm technical. I want to know the details of stuff, and I want to, you know, have a framework to move within. And then I come into this world of entrepreneurship that's just crazy. There are no limits. There are, you know, so many ways you can do stuff and so many things at the same time, not at all trying to keep things perfect, because like perfect is the enemy of entrepreneurship, I think. And going from that shift, from being that perfect oriented person, is something I still struggle with, actually. And I'm reading books about it and really trying to become this person who sort of can leave the details and just think big and just, you know, get people with me that can do the details, which used to be me, but now it's someone else. And that's a shift, but it's, I've grown so much from it.
Yeah, that really resonates with me as like a, you know, when you're a CEO, it's always like a gradual release of responsibility and trusting people to kind of execute a vision that you've laid out. And so, yeah, I really, really, really resonate with that. And also I love the phrase like shifting from perfect, you know, like shifting from what you think it should be to like, hey, this is actually going to look and feel different when I build this thing with other humans, you know, like that's just kind of the reality.
Exactly. And trusting people that you hire for a specific purpose, that they are really good at their job. Trust them and don't try to tell them what to do. Just give them the tools that they need to do what they are good at.
Yeah, there's also an element too of like trusting yourself to like, you know, pick the right people, to onboard them well, to give them, you know, the right amount of guidance and direction, but also verify, you know, the old phrase, trust but verify. Like, you know, how do you, once you've done all that, how do you verify that they are, you know, making the progress that you together agreed they should be making? How do you support them if they're not? How do you, you know, transition people? Like, I think that's all very challenging work, especially if you're coming at it as an individual contributor or as a technical person or, you know, so yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. That's one of the biggest challenges for sure.
Yeah. Was there like a specific moment or experience that kind of motivated you to focus on sustainability and climate tech?
Yeah, it was that sustainability manager at Max Burgers. That was the actual occasion. And the thing that he did that was so strong was that he started talking embarrassingly slow, like, and you know, when you listen to him, you're like, oh, what's he doing? And you know, you got all of that cringe all over your body. And it's like, when I realized why he did that for people to really, really pay attention and to really realize that what he's saying is so, so important. And when I realized that, I was like, wow, that's what I'm going to do. So basically, that was the moment when I decided.
And would love to hear about, you know, companies are always built on a lot of times the values of the founder or co-founders and, you know, a lot of the personality of the founders kind of shape the company culture. So we'd love to hear a bit about values, you know, and at Mission Twin and, you know, how do you think, what are your company values? How do you think your personal values have shaped, you know, the culture of the company? Just curious to hear more about that.
I'm so happy you asked that question, because I think in our case, it really does. There is an organizational framework, you could say, called TEAL, which describes how you work together in a network organization where everything is transparent and decisions are made at a low level without hierarchy and stuff like that. And you come to work being your entire self. You don't have to put on a facade and stuff. And I'm really inspired by that. And I'm inspired by Simon Sinek's Why, the golden circle. And so I think that is really fundamental in what we do. We have, for example, we have transparent salaries. So everyone knows what everyone makes. And I've been told so many times that, oh, that's going to be hugely difficult for you. And I believe that it's going to be difficult. But it's sort of, it's part of what I want to create. I mean, if we're not doing this for humans, who are we doing it for? Right. So I want to make sure that humans are at the center of what we do and that people get the knowledge that they need to make really good decisions and not sort of keep that to themselves. And I also think that one really dangerous thing in today's society is the polarization that we're seeing all over the world. Like either you're with us or you're against us. If you're sitting down talking to someone who has the opposite opinion, then people might look at you and think that you agree with that person. And I think that's so dangerous. I think it's so important that we sit down on the same, not on the same table, around the same table as people with opposite opinion and actually be curious about where do they come from? How do they envision the future going down the path that they are talking about? And what are we all in this for? I think that's, I don't know if that answers your question, but... Yeah. Yeah, right. The values.
Yeah. It really does. Yeah, it really does. I mean, I think especially on an issue as galvanizing and, you know, something that we should be coming together on and finding agreement, finding ways to find agreement, like climate change, you know, this culture of like canceling people and cutting people off if they don't agree with everything you agree with, like it kind of, it's just not getting us anywhere. And obviously, you know, people need to be held accountable for their actions and things like that. But we need to, you know, if there's no other topic we come together on, it's got to be this one, you know, so I really appreciate that. Yeah. Want to move us into the quick fire questions. These are just fun. Your first, you know, thought or sentence or just quick reaction to some questions that we ask. It's a chance for our audience to get to know you better. So first things first, you're busy with a mission twin, but if you could found another tech startup, what would it be and why?
Okay. First off, I want to say I'm not so good at fast questions because I'm a deep thinker and that takes time, but I'll give it my best shot. So I think, a tech startup that helps match people on the spectrum with the needs in businesses and society. Because I think we have a whole group of amazing people that have amazing capabilities, but they might not be the most social ones, and social skills being number one on companies' lists, they're sort of excluded from that. While they have this like intrinsic power of actually helping us solve so many things that the rest of us can't solve because we're too bothered with the social aspect. So I think that would be my next journey.
I think that's a great one. That's honestly one of the best answers I think we've had to that question.
Great.
Yeah, honestly, it serves such a need or multiple needs, you know, and it's just such a reframe on how society, I think, thinks about, you know, neurodivergent folks and their role in society. So. Well done.
Thank you.
Not that there's any measurement of these questions, just I personally.
Of course.
What tech invention makes you the most excited?
Yeah, this, I don't know if it's allowed to say, but it's our own invention. It's the digital twin tech, I think. But that's mostly because I know it so well and I know the potential, but I'm sure there's huge amount of other technical solutions and it would have to be something around climate tech since I think that's the most pressing challenge. But I'm sure there are so many technological inventions out there, like solar, they're widely used now, but I think harnessing the power that we already have access to and just making it possible is
great. And then conversely, what tech makes you the most concerned these days?
Yeah, that's a more difficult one. The tech that makes me most concerned. I think I don't want to mention like a specific company or a specific product, but generally, I am concerned, as I think many are, when we have tech platforms that are affecting democracy, and when the people controlling those tech platforms then can sort of control democracy and what people get access to and what information they have and don't have and what's true and not. I think that's concerning.
That's a great answer. Who is a literal human who has been integral to your career journey? Someone you want to shout out?
Yeah, it is my mentor. Her name is Annika Gilbertson, and she's the founder of energy management. So not regular energy management, but human energy management, how we can reach our goals with less stress and less pressure and more more healthy and happily, with more energy, really. And so she's been like every week we power walk and talk about everything from small to big and how to tackle life's curveballs. And she's actually the reason I started the company. I dared to take that step. So it would have to be her.
Shout out to Annika. That's a great one. I think good mentorship is so underrated, underreported. And I love that you take a power walk with your mentor every single week. That's amazing.
Yeah.
There's something or two about walking and talking together. There's like a special alchemy that happens there as well.
Yeah, exactly.
What's an inspirational quote that's stuck with you throughout your journey in tech, would you say?
I think I'm a real fan of Alice in Wonderland, and it's not at all tech related, but it's business related. There's this quote from Alice in Wonderland where Alice asks the Cheshire Cat, "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" And the Cheshire Cat says, "Well, that depends a good deal on where you want to get to." And she says, "I don't much care where." And then the cat says, "Well, then it doesn't matter which way you go." And I think that it's really important for us to have the goal in mind. Simon Sinek again, the why, like to agree on the why, then everything else becomes so much easier. Also, the polarization, I think, would not go away. But if we talk about the why and the future of society and how we want to see that, instead of just different ways of running society. Well, it depends on where you want society to go and what you want society to be. So if you ask that question and sort of agree on that first, it's so much easier to solve the rest.
Great. Well, I think that wraps everything up. Tova, really appreciate having you on the pod today. And we'd love to, you know, let our listeners know where they can find out more about the great work you're doing at Emission Twin and stay updated on your journey.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay, yeah, of course. www.emissiontwin.com. Please visit us, press the demo button, give us a call. If you want to reduce emissions, we're all here for you.
Amazing. Well, we're big fans of your work. And to our listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, which I'm sure you have, Tova's a team, they're doing amazing work to reduce emissions and help companies do that and really, really, you know, leverage the power of digital twins and the great work they're doing to assess where they're at and then go on and reduce their emissions. So can't think of more critical work. If you've enjoyed this episode, please, please leave us a review, leave us a rating. Reviews help us bring amazing guests like Tova and their team and share impactful stories like the good work that's happening at Emission Twin. So thank you all for listening. And Tova, thank you so much again for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm honored.
Yeah, it was great to chat. Well, thanks, everybody, and have a great rest of your day.